This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with the 2010 London Symposium. Proposition. Why am I not there? Good question. If I am here, I know that, but why am I not there? Why am I not somewhere else? Why am I only here? What makes me think that being here is so exciting and so wonderful and so important and so good? What makes me think that? No. Why am I not there? So, I am here at this table discussing at this philosophy idea, and campus is there, and whatever time it is on campus, and the kids are doing what they're doing, and why am I not there with them? Why am I not over in Switzerland joining with them on their activities? Why am I not over in Beijing? Wouldn't that be interesting to be in Beijing and sit around their philosophical discussions? But when you sit around their philosophical discussions, you let them lead the discussion, and then you just take off on it, like we can do. We can do anytime. We have the ability to be anywhere we want at any time we want. Now, can you be here, and can you be there, and can you be here at the same time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's illogical, unreasonable, impossible for a human being to do that. So, you have to be something more than a human being if you can do that. Now, what do you think you are?
Spirit.
What do you think you are that you can do that? You say, well, I'm God. Okay, that's nice. I am the creative cause of the universe. Okay, that's nice. I am divine. Okay, that's nice. I am the allness. Okay, that's nice. If you're the allness, then you're not the isness. You're not the ordinary quality of a relative being. You're the absolute being. And, in fact, you're transcending the absolute being. Now, why am I not here? You see, by my saying I'm not here, I am here to say that I'm not here. Because if I were not here, I could not say here is where I am not. And when I say that I am here, that is the truth. You can understand readily. But when I say I am not here, you cannot understand that because you can see me. Because you look at me and you say, you're here. And then I say to you, okay, I am the allness, I am the universal consciousness, I am the universal life style or life power or life whatever, and I am everywhere. Now, can I be seen everywhere? Can I be seen by whomever on any earthly plane or any non-earthly plane in heaven or in other satellites or planets or other galaxies, or can I be seen wherever being seen is done? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Now, do I know I can be seen?
Yes. Yes.
Do I know that I can be aware of who I am wherever I am? And the answer is yes. Now, how can I be aware of who I am wherever I am? How can I be aware?
You are allness.
No. Yes, I am all. But I am aware only of where I think to be aware when I'm aware. Otherwise, I'm not aware that I'm there. Am I there? Yes.
Yes.
Am I aware I'm there? No. No. I cannot say to you, I am in Beijing, and be thinking that I'm in Campbell. I cannot say to you, I'm in London, and thinking that I'm in Leicester. I cannot think of both places at the same time. I can think of them separately, but not together. Now, and that's the human mind. Now, in the infinite mind, it can be all things, but in its creativity of bringing forth anything out of the allness, it has to be that which it creates for that instant that it brings it forth. You follow me? And when it brings it forth, in objectivity, out of the infinity into the relativity. And when it does that, then it is known. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff. Why am I not here? Any concept come to your mind?
My choice.
Exactly. I am not here because it's my choice. Now, you say, well, I can see you. Well, that's my choice too. Can I make a clone or an expression of myself and scatter it like stardust, you know? Scatter it like snowflakes all over the world and have me being everywhere in each snowflake? And each time you look at a snowflake, you see me? Can I do that? Sure.
That's your choice.
By my choice. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, then am I here or am I not here?
You're here.
I'm here. But I'm here because I am a clone of myself. Now, let's answer this question. Can each clone be the allness, or must each clone only be a representation of the allness?
Representation.
No, each clone is the allness. Yeah. Each clone is the allness because it cannot be a representation. If it's a representation, that means it's not the allness. And can I ever be anywhere where I am not? Can I ever be anywhere and not be all that I am? You see, if you think I can be a phantasm, just an illustration, or just an illusion, or just an expression, a ghost of something, and not the reality. Can you think that I could die and that my soul would separate from my body and my body would lie there and dissipate? Can you think that I would do that? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. We are always everywhere. And we are always where our body is. Now, as our body chooses to change form, we are in each of those microscopic atoms of that form, because we are the one that atom was created to be. We are the one that atom was created to represent, our physical being. We are. Now, that goes for any fingernails. That goes for any hair. That goes for any essence of us. Wherever that is, we are there. We are there in our allness. We don't have the perception to see that allness, just like you don't have the perception to see the thousands of people in this room, you know. We're there. We're there as much as it really is there. And this is not to say anything scary or weird or strange. It's merely to say you cannot ever not be everywhere if you are the allness. Am I the allness? Yes.
Yes.
Are you the allness?
Yes.
Yes. So you are everywhere. You are everywhere. You don't even need a blade of grass. You don't even need a strand of hair. You don't need to have any dust specks or any of your atoms. You are everywhere. But you are more predominant, and you show yourself off in the relative by the physical form that you take. And then when you leave that physical form, all of your ideal beings, you might say, all of your absolute beings, if you can visualize such thing, know you wherever you are. They know you if you want to be known. But you see, they know everything, but they choose to be aware of only a few things at once. And because they only choose to be aware of a few things at once, it appears that there is only a few things on earth. And in reality, everything is here. Everything is here from, like when the pharaohs drove their chariots, they could just as easily have been driving Cadillacs. They could just as easily have been driving jet airplanes, you know. And wouldn't that have been cool, have a pharaoh come visit us with a jet airplane? Now, can we and this is a nice concept, can we, right here, take off and go to Egypt and visit the pharaohs in 7000 B.C., if such existed? Can we?
Yes.
And that be real?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we can do that. Now, why don't we do that? Why don't these people, why don't these people who want to write about the history of Egypt and write about the construction of the pyramids, why don't they just go back there to the time the pyramids were being considered, before they were constructed, when they were being considered? Why don't we just go back there, and as we go back there, what will we find out? We'll find out how they built them, how they made them. And what would we find? We'd find that perhaps some visitors from outer space had come to visit and said, hey, let's build some pyramids, and let's do this and that. And so they clicked their finger, so to speak, and out came all of the physical matter necessary for this. Because what was done was absolutely incapable of being done by the physical, mechanical things that they had in those days. And why fight it? Why fight it? So, now, does it have to be a being from outer space?
No.
Why is it they have all of those, what do they call them, the symbols of landing spots and so forth on the desert over there, and in South America especially, and they look like landing patterns for big ships that they would come in, and it's just so significant. No one who would have built it, you know, and why would it be there if it didn't have some significance or some purpose? Well, wouldn't it be nice to just pop back to that time in history when they were doing this and why they were doing this, and meet the people who encouraged them to do it? Now, we can do that. But to do that, you have to be considered insane. You know? You have to be considered totally in the loony bin. And the reason that you're considered insane is because you are considering possibilities that have no reason in fact. And insanity is based upon fact. If you are factual, you are sane. If you are not factual, you are insane. And then most of our scientists would be insane because they are factual. What does a scientist work with? What's the word that a scientist works with?
Thoughts.
Huh? Thoughts. Yeah, but he works with theories.
Theories.
And what's a theory? Somebody's idea of what it is. Somebody's thought about what it is. See? And so, he's working on theory. He's working on guess by golly, you know? And because he's working on this guesswork, what reality is there in that? As far as the scientific world would go, what reality is there in that? None. Now, why would he do such a thing? Why would scientists work on theories? What is Einstein's theory of relativity and many other theories? What are the theories of many other people? What's the Big Bang theory? Just all theories. And because it's a theory, they have a perfect right to say anything they want to about it, because it's not proven anyhow, and it need not be proven. It's called a theory. Now, these things are fantastic, and we are fantastic. And we all have the possibility of being who we really are. And I have told you a little bit about who we are, and you have tried to say yes to it. But I told you we're God. And what do you understand God to be? Do you understand God to be the allness, the isness, the totality of everything, the creator of everything, the da-da-da-da-da-da? You know, if that's what you believe, and then you say that you are that, well, that's a mighty big blessing to put on your shoulder. Now, if that is true, why would you have any limitation? Why would you have any limitation now or ever? Why would you ever have any limitation that you could not think things or do things or manifest things? Why don't you just levitate? Why don't you just levitate right off the ground here now and float in this? Wouldn't you? You're in the airplane and you're in economy and you say, well, I think I'll take a nap. And so you just levitate up in the ceiling of the plane, you know, and just snuggle up there. And you're out of the way, and you're snuggled up there, and you're straightened out, and you're so comfortable. Why not? Or, if you're going to go that far, why even go on the plane? Just go up above the plane like Samantha and her mother and dad. You know? And you say, that's stupid, but no, it isn't. Those are all possibilities. And those are all things that, you see, how the crazier, the wilder, the most unrighteous thing that ever is thought is more real than anything that we have as real. Because what, are you so intelligent, my God, so intelligent, that you can take the sperm of your husband and add it to the egg that you have in your body, and from that egg bring forth a magnificent child, which becomes a magnificent adult, which becomes and perpetrates and continues itself as another activity like that, bringing more children forth. Now, it's amazing. And all these little cells getting together, and the undifferentiated cells saying, I'm going to be a nose, I'm going to be a head, and they all form themselves into these different things. And then they develop in a frog-like way first, and then they come out in a beautiful way. And you know, how could you do that? Where did you get the intelligence to do that? Yeah, you're a magic woman. And you say, well, all women seem to be magic women. And that's true. That's true. Well, what about the monkeys? What about the fish? And what about every other being that perpetrates itself on the earth by reproducing itself? Isn't that something? Amazing. Now, don't ever say, or don't ever think to yourself, ever, that God is too wonderful for you to be God. Because you already are. You already are. You're God, not in the microcosm, but you're God in the macrocosm. You're the allness of God now. Now, that you are demonstrating what you're demonstrating on the area that you're demonstrating is fine. But if you chose to tomorrow demonstrate on another area, you'd be there. You would jump into a rocket ship and fly to the moon. People do that. And people actually go to the moon. And I know people who went to the moon, you know. And Andrew Mitchell was one, you know. And I know these people, and they're normal people just like you. And they come back and they say, we looked at the moon, and we looked at the earth down there, and that's where we came from, and that's where we live, and that's our reality, that's where we're going back to, and somehow we're going to come from this little spot in the sky to that little spot in the sky, and how are we going to go through this here, and are there going to be asteroids and other things flying past us and stuff flying past us that could chop our little spacecraft into pieces, and are we going to do all these things? And they said, hey, cut out that nonsense talk. I surround this spacecraft with my
pure white light of love.
All my ways are pleasantness and all my paths are peace. Yes, wonderful. And the way is open before me. And the astronauts, bang, fly right back down to Earth. Now, that is unimaginable. That if you would say that to anybody, they'd say, sure, why not? It's stupid, but why not? Because that's what life is made out of. All of these irrational, stupid things that just should not work. But they work. And so that is why we can say of ourselves, that's why we can say that we are God. That's why we can say we are the allness. That's why we can say we can be in a zillion, jillion, trillion, million places at one time. All around the world. And that's why no matter what life we have lived, no matter what experiences we've had, there is nothing. We are not known by our life experiences. We're not known by who we are. We're known by that we are. We exist. That is the fact. We exist. We are on every planet. We are on every atom that exists in the universe, We are that atom. We are that energy source. We are that. And when we come to realize this, and of course I'm giving you this rapid fire fashion, primarily because it's not important. When we come to realize that that's the fact, then, and I say it's not important because of this, then we'll stop fighting that we are that and just be it. And when we are it, then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. We are everything, and we are enjoying it, and we are getting fun out of it, and we're getting thrills out of it, and we're getting uplift out of it. We're getting everything good out of it, you see? And that's what makes the world go round. Now, if, and we can, if we can understand it just a little bit, if we can comprehend that that's the truth about us, it's not a joke, it's not something that's wishful thinking, it is reality. And if we can understand that, then when these things come to our attention, when the awareness comes in our consciousness, and it'll come, when the awareness comes in our, we won't fight it. But if we fight, as we will now, because we're not quite aware of this point, if we fight the awareness of these various aspects of spiritual illumination, if we fight them as they come, we just jump off the wagon. We just jump off the wagon and we don't go anywhere. And then we grab a hold of it and get on the wagon and say, yeah, I've always liked philosophy. I've always liked spiritual illumination. I've always liked these things. And oh, I can't take that. I can't believe that. Your God, my goodness sakes, that is the silliest thing I ever heard. And you see, the moment you rattle-tattle it, the moment you fight it, what you have done is taken yourself off the wagon. You have taken yourself out of the program, but you're still in it. But you've taken yourself out of it for the fun of it until some other time when you wake up, when you have another illumination, another inspiration. That's fantastic. Yeah, wonderful. Well, my beloveds, why am I not here? Primarily because I am here. I am everywhere. Now, this is a series of lectures given here in Leicester, near London in England, and it's all about the idea of who we are and what we are and why we are. And we want to know what we can do about it, how we can be ourselves, how we can be the divine beings that we are, the magical beings that we are. And for the past week now, we've been going over many different discussions on these things, and we've come up with a lot of concepts, and each concept says to us, there's nothing impossible. Each concept says to us, everything is, because we can think of it, it has happened, it is happened, it does exist. It is in the allness, and we are in the allness. And we can accept it right now and enjoy it. And we don't have to prove it to ourselves or anyone else. We just enjoy it. Now, for a while, you'll rest, and you'll not take any more thought about what I've said. But given a short time, days or weeks or months, whatever, and all of a sudden, something's going to pop up in your consciousness, a discussion or an awareness of these topics that we've talked about, and you're going to say, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's true. That's true. That's true. That person is that, and we are all that. We are God. I am God. I really am. I really am. That's so wonderful. And as we come to this awareness of being able to say, I am God, God I am, then we come to the awareness of being able to say, I'm not God. I'm not God. Because as my interpretation of God is, He is the creator of the universe according to the Bible, and that's a limited thing. I am the allness, which has no name. I am the allness, the isness, which has no organization, which has no subtitle to itself. It has no substance to it. It has no, you can't say anything about it. You just say that it exists, and that's what I am. Now, when I come to that realization, it's pretty heavy, but pretty wonderful. So, think on these things and know that as you think on these things, I'm right there with you, always sharing love, always sharing joy, always sharing peace, and I may not be able, through human words, to express all that I know I am in the Absolute. At least we're getting a start on it. So, enjoy yourselves, and thank you so much for being here, so much for allowing me to be here to share with you, and I know, should the other times come as they will, we'll have more glorious adventures into the topic of the mind and the matter of who we are. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.